Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's start at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And let's bow and ask the Lord to bless our time. We want to submit ourselves to you today, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would be with us, and I pray that you would be free to be working in the hearts and minds of everybody in this room Amen. Here today. Lord, that your word would be beneficial to them and have an effect. Lord, you help us, that you'd strengthen us. I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here that is estranged from you or separated from you or never ever knew you, Lord, that you'd open their eyes and that great miracle of salvation would take place in their heart, Lord, that they trust you. Lord, we give this time into your hands and ask that you would move as you see fit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The verse that I want to concentrate on in this particular passage, it'd be nice if we could preach this entire passage in this time that we have, but the issues are just too many and too complex, but we're going to touch on some of them. But I want you to go back to verse 3 and let's read verse 3. One more time again, because that's the crux of what I want to talk about today. And it's a pretty incredible verse. It takes place in the introduction to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And this is what he says about God. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Several times we have a word in there. It starts out with blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, using the word bless. In about the middle of the verse, it said he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Three times in this passage, you have that word again, and it's the word blessing. And I've had this verse on my mind and partially because this is actually becoming a very popular word nowadays. And a lot of people are using this word when you say, you know, how are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. You know, and so they use this word and it's kind of confusing to me because I have people, work associates and different acquaintances that have been using this verse. And yet, I seriously doubt whether they have any real respect or any real knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ or His work or anything. And so I thought I would preach this passage right here to kind of give you a more of a biblical definition of not only what blessing is, but, you know, exactly what it's talking about right here, what true blessing really is. And I'll tell you why it kind of bothers me. You know, why would it bother me that other people are blessed? You know, I should be happy, right? If other people are blessed or if they're feeling good about their life, then that should make me feel good. I say, oh man, you know, they're doing good. That's good. That's right. And the truth is you do feel good when other people are doing good and they're getting their act together and they're doing well financially and they're doing well physically and their relationships are going well. And you want to be happy for them. But what it does is it can give us a false sense of assurance. And what men believe, and what many men will think is that I'm doing good. This goodness that I'm enjoying came from God. Therefore, God approves of my life. God accepts me. And God agrees with me in the way that I'm living. And you can be blessed physically and be wrong with God. We tend to think, okay, somebody's going to walk away and be and get on the other side of God, that what's going to happen is that the hammer of God's going to come down right away. Their life is going to get all screwed up. They're going to be all messed up this way or that. But there are some wicked people in this world whose lives are not really all that messed up. In fact, they're doing pretty good. Go back in the Old Testament and read about that priest that started talking about the wicked in the world. And he got to feeling bad because the people that were really trying to do God's will were having a hard time. And the ones that were out there in the world that are wicked, were having their kids weren't getting sick, their trucks weren't breaking down. I guess they didn't have trucks in those days, but their horses weren't getting sick, their chariot wheels weren't messing up. You know, he had this whole deal that, hey man, why are they doing good and we who belong to God are doing bad? And it is. It's a problem. You wonder. And so we have to be careful that envy and jealousy doesn't take a hold of us and we go out there and looking at people. It is a temptation sometimes to walk away from the Lord because you see people that aren't doing what God wants them to do. And yet they seem to be, quote unquote, blessed. And they even tell you, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. I'm doing good. But there's a difference. There's a difference between temporal, physical blessings and spiritual blessings. That's exactly what this verse is labeling. It's labeling something called spiritual blessings. Notice what it says at the end of the verse right here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is different. It's different than if you're just doing well and you got money in your pocket. It's different than if you're doing well physically. In fact, this is not even talking about anything that has to do with your physical life. It doesn't have to do with your occupation. It doesn't have to do with whether or not you got a job or don't have a job. In fact, this description right here is universal for everyone that puts their trust in Christ. And what I think is the amazing thing is that anybody, no matter what their situation, can look at that verse, and if they belong to Christ, they can say, you know what? I have spiritual blessings in Christ. This is something that's universal that doesn't depend on your position. It doesn't depend on your station in life. Because I know some people quote that verse from David. David says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And I've actually heard Christians quote that and say, I am never going to go hungry because of that verse right there. God says that He's going to take care of me. Well, you know, He does take care of us, but I guarantee He does also ask us to go through some hard times. We have brothers and sisters in different parts of this world right now that physically are not doing well. They're not doing well. I just read We were here Friday night for a while and finishing up some things. And so while I was waiting for my wife to get done and everything, I went over there and I caught one of those magazines from Voice of the Martyrs. And there was an article in there about this North Korean pastor that, well, he wasn't North Korean. He was actually Chinese North Korean descent, and he lived in a border town in China. And so got involved with cross-border ministries and working with the North Koreans and all of that, and just running into a lot of problems because the Christians in North Korea were not having it well. In fact, several of his converts, and he made it a point with North Koreans. He said, look, if you come to my church and I help you, you're going to go back to North Korea where you're from, and you're going to be a light there. Where most of us would say, you know, get out, escape, you know, but he was actually telling them, go back. That's where you belong. They need Christians in that country. And the truth is, the darker the place is, the more desperately it needs the people of God. It needs Christians. So he would send them back. And so several of his converts had gotten killed, and their families had been taken, and just all sorts of problems. And then towards the end of the story, it recorded how some assassins finally crossed the border and came and killed him, left his wife and his kids without any substance. And you look at that, and you say, well, let me ask you a question. Was that man blessed? Were the converts that went back into their North Korean territory, back to their families, back to that oppressive environment and died, were they blessed? A lot of people would say, no, they weren't blessed because, you know, they don't have this and they didn't have this and they didn't have that. And no, obviously God's favor wasn't on them but I'm telling you something, if we look at it from different perspective, from different eyes, we could say that that person who went back into North Korea and died for their faith, they were blessed. Notice what it says here. It says that he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You see, this isn't a conditional statement in the sense that he's not waiting for us to perform something before. This is a statement that's made of anybody that belongs to Christ. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is already something that is said and done. So anybody, no matter what your situation is, I don't care if you're on the last stages of cancer and you're ready to meet the Lord, and you compare yourself with somebody who has health up to 101 years old, you're blessed. I want to redefine the word I'm blessed. Because I think when Christians say it, you should be saying it not just because your truck is running and everything's going good, but you ought to be saying it because you have a true understanding of what real spiritual blessing really is. And what we can do is we can look at this passage and we can see several things in this passage that are incredibly amazing. And every one of them has to do with the soul. Not a single one has to do with the body. Not a single one has to do with the possessions. Everything we list here has to do with the soul. And it says there in verse 4, let's just go through it real quick and pick out some things. Verse 4, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Wow, that verse right there fits your pattern, doesn't it? That he has chosen us in him, that we should be holy and blame. That's good. Did you use that verse this morning? You skipped that one. Thank you, because I wanted to use it. But he has chosen us in him. Now, immediately people start talking about, well, do we have the will? I don't want to get into all of that. All I want to tell you is that this idea that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for our sins was not some last-minute decision that God had. That God had it in his mind from the very beginning that he was going to save us from our sins. That to me is incredible. So he had it in his mind. Look at there in verse 5. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. His idea was that he was going to adopt us as children. Hold your place there, and let's look at several verses. Look at Romans in chapter 8 in verse 16. Let's back up to verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And that's present tense, by the way. "And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together." Now, think about that relationship right there that we have. He's talking about adopting us as children. There's this idea, you know, that all the world, everybody's the children of God. We're all the same. We're all, well, we may be all the creation of God, but we're not all the children of God. You don't become a son of God until you put your faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says there, if you look over there in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1 and in verse 12, Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12, a very, very clear verse. He said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." I'm telling you, think about that. To be called a son of God? Man, he says over there in 1 John, he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Does it glorify us as sons? No. But man, I'm telling you something. This is a spiritual blessing that we have in Christ, that we are now sons of God. And as sons, we have the rights of inheritance to everything that God has for us. It's an incredible promise. And this is a promise that a North Korean on death's doorstep and a rich American have in common. Both could say, "I am blessed because I'm a son of God." That's one thing. But look over there, back over there in Ephesians. And we've got lots of stuff in here that we could mention. Verse 6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Now figure, chew on that one for a while. Accepted in the beloved. The fact that I am accepted of God, that I'm actually able to be received of God. Not only that, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." I know I'm going through stuff that's real deep and I'm going through it kind of fast, but it's listing here spiritual blessings that have nothing to do with anything physical here on earth that is universal to everyone that puts their trust in Jesus Christ. You talk about redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What is redemption? Redemption is that he came and he redeemed us. That means he paid the price to buy us back. That's an incredible thing. In other words, he's the only one that could pay that price. Had Jesus Christ not died on the cross for our sins, we would be condemned forever without any hope of ever seeing God or getting to God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting Amen. Life. And so this redemption, this offer of redemption from Jesus Christ, when you accept it, that is a spiritual blessing that you have. And it goes on, man, we talk about all kinds. We could preach each one of these things just over and over again. It talks about there in verse 11, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance." Man, I don't know about you, but there are some days when my bills are real low that I'm looking around at relatives and I'm thinking, you know, of course, I don't have any relatives that I think are going to leave us any money. And we already told my mom that go ahead and spend your money. We don't need it. So we're not going to, nothing's coming from that direction right there. But actually, I've got an inheritance that is great. And if I had a trust fund of millions of dollars waiting for me at a certain time, a certain place that it would be promised to me, it would not compare with the inheritance that I have in Jesus Christ. That is a spiritual blessing. You know what he said? He identifies these things, and several ways he identifies them. If you look back there in verse 3, it gives you two things here. It says that he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And I mean, you go back and you flesh that out. I'm just giving you a couple of high points of those verses right there. But this incredible blessing that we have in Christ, this assurance, this security that we have, that everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ has these things. It says two things about it. It says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Isn't that a curious way of putting things? In heavenly places. In the book of Ephesians, you've got four times where it's at least three. I didn't actually check out the fourth one, where it talks about heavenly places, being seated in heavenly places. The one that really is curious there is in chapter 2 and in verse 6. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. And so it talks about this resurrection. I know you got up this morning, the time changed. And so you might be a little groggy, you know, you might be a little resentful. You know, why in the world do we have daylight savings? I never grew up with daylight savings time. I grew up in Arizona. And so I never had to mess with it. And then I got, joined the military. So I spent 6 years in the military, never had to mess with it. And only till I came to Texas did I realize anyway, I don't know why I got onto all that. Not that I'm resentful of daylight savings time, but I am. Sorry. And I got ready to forget my point because of that. Say that again. Heavenly places. Oh, when in doubt, just continue on. That's the problem with chasing rabbits. Somebody said, you know, it's not a problem chasing a rabbit, but you'd really got to catch it, you know. But it talks about this. It talks about being seated in. Oh, I know. Now I got it. I got it. It's back now. Seated in heavenly places. Okay, we compare that with our experience, and it doesn't feel like heavenly places, right? Did you really feel this morning when you got up that you were in a heavenly place? I know they have biographies of spiritual men in the past that they roll out of bed and roll into the presence of God, but no, not usually. But we are. We are. In other words, it's as good as done spiritually. He says that he's given the earnest of the spirit, and he is going to redeem actually the body at some point in time. That's what the teaching of the second coming of Jesus Christ and the rapture and the dead in Christ rising first is, that he's actually going to redeem this corruptible body. Over there in, I believe it's in Philippians, it says, our conversation is in heaven, whereby we look for this coming. And I'm paraphrasing that particular part right there. But this is a solid, it's a tangible, it's a something that you can actually experience. This idea that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ, that we have spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places in Christ, not here on this earth. Our physical condition doesn't necessarily match up with that. The sister was telling me about what the what Marco and Kelly and them guys down there are going through. And yeah, things like home invasions, they can be pretty scary, especially when they actually tie you up, you know, and then you all of that, you know, the anger and the frustration and everything. And I've been burglarized, you know, something about somebody taking your stuff really makes you mad, you know. But then, you know, we got a choice. We can put guard dogs up, you know. We can put spotlights, you know. We can arm ourselves and have a loaded gun in every room. And in some neighborhoods, you got to do that, you know. It's just something that you got to do. But you could do everything possible, and there are thieves that are still gonna get in. You can't preserve it. One little spark in an outlet, and you have protected yourself from home invasion, and all of a sudden everything catches fire and it's gone. Do you realize how fragile everything is? Amen. How easily it is to lose it all? Without ever trying, man, you think everything's going good, everything's going right, and then one little tweak in the economy, and entire industries just wiped off the face of the map. Or you've got a good industry, and you're working for a company, and you think, man, this Enron, I'm going to retire here. And then something happens and somebody has squandered all of the retirement funds and you're left with nothing. I'm telling you, there are senior citizens and maybe some of you that were thinking about retiring and they can't because it's all gone. It's just lost. And I could give other examples. The point is that you can't rely on anything here on earth. You can't trust in it. You can't bank it. It's better not to live your life in light of it. But heavenly places, Jesus Christ tells us in the New Testament, he says, don't lay up for yourselves on earth treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. I'm telling you, moth and rust don't corrupt up there. Thieves can't get to it up there. It is totally and completely safe from any threat whatsoever. Why do I mention that? Because that's what our salvation is. People laugh about once saved, always saved. There's no other way. There's no other option. There's no other way. If you're not saved forever, secure in the hands of Jesus Christ, then you're not saved at all. This fact that, oh, I'm saved, but you know, I'm kind of working and I hope when I get to the end. No, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Not only is the security of our soul already established in heaven where no threat can reach it, but it is in Christ. Now think about that for a minute. There's a reason why it says in Christ. I'll give you just one verse just to illustrate it. If I look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, probably be a verse, good verse to go to. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 22. It says, for as in Adam all die, even so, in Christ, shall all be made alive. There is this idea of representation. Jesus Christ is called the second Adam. The first Adam, God condemned the entire human race in Adam. That's what we're identified in. We're identified in Adam, and that's exactly how the scriptures say it. They say we're in Adam. That means that Adam is our representative, and that's where we get our sin nature. And that's where we get our condemnation. And you can say that's not fair, but I'm telling you it's how God did it. And I'll tell you why he did it. Because by one man, he condemned the entire world so that by one man, he could redeem the entire world. And so that's exactly what he did. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. And so in Adam, all die. But in Christ, all shall be made alive.
Amen.
So now, here's where the beauty of it is. If I call upon the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says that if I call upon his name, he comes and dwells in me, and I in him. And it's a reciprocal indwelling where I'm in him and he's in me. And I go back there and over there in John chapter 10, and I read, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and no man shall pluck them from my hand. I'm telling you, I am secure in Christ. How is it that I can be accepted in the beloved? Because I'm such a good person? Because I'm in Christ. He is now my representative. He has become my righteousness. How is it that I can escape the judgment of God, having deserved the judgment of God? It's because I have accepted Jesus Christ, and now I am in him. And so whatever is true of him is now true for me. If God accepts Christ, he accepts me because I'm in Christ. If he promises Christ, Jesus Christ, then I'm in Christ, and whatever inheritance there is, it comes to me. Man, that is awesome. Yeah, I can stand up and say, yeah, I'm blessed. I'm blessed beyond belief. And it has nothing to do with my temporal state here on earth right now. It doesn't even have anything to do with whether or not I'm joyful right now, or I'm depressed right now, or I'm confused, or I'm angry, or I'm any. I am blessed because I'm in Christ. This is what it's talking about, spiritual blessings. And listen, this is what you need to get. This right here is what the world is looking for and can't find. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You would think, and it's a common thing. I've read a lot of sales books because part of my job has to do with selling. And there's this concept that, you know, if you have a good product, that, you know, you don't have to do that much work. If you've got a good product that is in demand, then people are going to buy it. You know, people are going to take it. They're going to get it. I'm just amazed that I'm telling you something. I got a good product here. Now, I don't personally have it. God has a good offer here. This is an offer, man, that is incredible. How many people would take the lottery over the salvation of the soul? Sad, but a lot. They would rather win the lottery and get paper money for a few years to spice up their miserable temporal existence. They would rather have that and die without God than to take this offer, this incredible offer, this eternal offer that he gives, this spiritual blessing where you could actually be accepted by God, redeemed by God, have your sins forgiven by God, and then taken to be with him forever when you die. That's why he starts out that verse right there with, blessed be God, which giveth us spiritual blessings in Christ, all spiritual blessings in Christ. I'm telling you, this is what you got to get. This is, and this is our foundation. We're at all levels right now. Those of you that are saved, some of you guys are walking really close with the Lord. You're doing really good. Some people are, you know, you're not, maybe not doing so well, but anybody that belongs to Christ, this is your position right here. Hey, I got a suggestion. Why don't, instead of keeping your eyes on all of the things in the world that cause the ups and the downs and the anxiety and the fear and all of these things, why don't you put your eyes on something that will not change, those spiritual blessings that you have in Christ? Listen, that ought to be the beginning for us. If you have this as a foundation, it ought to change the way that you live. It ought to change your perspective. Man, there are a lot of things in this life that just shouldn't bother you. You're just like, you know, it doesn't even mean anything. Man, if you won the lottery and you had $2 million in your pocket and somebody walked up and called you a jerk, you'd be like, I don't care. I got $2 million in my pocket. You can call me whatever you want. I'm happy. I'm good. You know, everything's good for me. Well, listen, you got more than $2 million in your pocket. Amen. You've got something so incredible. You've got the salvation of the soul. I'm telling you, you've got spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's what you ought to be thinking about when you say, yeah, I'm blessed. Lord's been good to me. And yeah, the Lord is good to us in many other temporal, physical ways. It's an awesome thing. But this is where it counts. This is why we're blessed. And listen, what about you today? Do you belong to Him? Have you given your life to Him? Have you trusted in Him? Or are you just, you're on the fence? You're not really sure whether you really want to give your life to Him or not. You're not sure. I'm telling you, I don't care how well you're doing, you are not blessed if you don't have Christ. Because all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And there are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ. Listen, my advice today is that you would trust Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Trust Him for your soul. Man, give Him everything. You say, man, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to do. Man, let Him worry about that. You need your sins forgiven. You need your soul saved. You need to belong to Him, because nothing in this world will mean anything if you don't belong to Him. And my advice is today that you would call upon His name. And if you're confused or you want to talk, man, I'm here. Brother Bill's here.